Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is Attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.
Third hour of the B Show on ESPN 680 and 105.7 with Nick Valvano and Phil Baker. I'm Nick Curran, sitting in for Bobby V, who's on Amtrak somewhere between North Carolina and New York, presumably.
I believe it's Amtrak. Did they get in trouble for it almost being like a monopoly or something?
I don't know. Didn't Joe Biden trying to
expand it?
Yeah, he's trying to expand it. So he's trying to do this like infrastructure.
Bob loves it. Probably most other people are thinking, when's the last time you used a train to get from here
East
to there?
East Coast, it's great. Oh, my God. I can't emphasize it enough. I fly into Baltimore, go visit some family down in D.C. It's only like $16. Can kick my feet up. Don't have to worry about road rage and everything.
Go to Penn Station. Oh, go right upstairs.
Do we need one going from here to like Nashville or Indianapolis?
Yes, there is a gap there. But yes, I mean, there's a little gap. I mean, depending. Yes, I would much rather. I don't need a car. Like, I would much rather just hop somewhere. I'm like, I'm sleeping here. I'm sleeping on the way back and not even think about
everybody.
It.
I mean, that's great if you don't want to go anywhere when you get there. I mean, I'd rather have my car so I can just go places.
But that's why they have Bird scooters and Ubers.
Okay. Those also cost money. No,
so
of course not. Yes, of course it does, but you're not saving money if you're trying to go places when you get from.
It's not the destination, it's the journey, Nick.
I know, that's why I'd rather have a car.
Pay $80 a night in parking as well. So 267-9680 is the phone number, 437-9680, UPS
also,
jobs text line.
No Bird scooters for me.
Strictly a Lime guy?
Too clumsy to attempt it.
They are a little nerve-wracking.
Yeah,
I'm not
going to
lie.
By the way, bravo, great sports center from Nick during the break.
Thanks. Try to redeem myself.
Jack was playing me a bunch of sound from the extended coverage on Friday night. Bunch of L's downs, a bunch of people that were unhappy. They're probably going to put together a medley process was going at somebody who essentially called in and saying they wanted to beat him up on the street. So, yeah, good stuff. Take coming up here in about 45 minutes or so if you've hated this thus far.
I'm sure you have, but never fear. Andy and Strebel will be here along with Jack coming up in 45 minutes.
So the university says Neely wasn't at the meeting. Can someone ask Satterfield or Tyree to confirm? I don't think Vince Tyree is talking to anyone for the time being, and I don't think Scott Satterfield will talk to anyone
also,
until...
would be a really bold move by the university to lie about that.
Open records, baby.
There's open records, but also Vince is about to take, like either one of them could just come out and say, no, actually she was there. And that would not look great. So I'm going to take them at their word that she was not in the meeting because there's really no reason to lie and it would really be a bad idea.
Bring in a Jurich guy and you're for sure not going to get Jeff for the job. That's an interesting dynamic there.
I don't know what Josh Hurd is
right.
A Jurich. I mean, he was here. I don't know what you would consider him. He's been a couple of places. I don't think under an interim athletic director, I could be wrong, but I would doubt that they would make a move on Scott Satterfield with an interim AD because that's a tough spot.
That is ballsy.
That would be a very tough spot for an interim AD, so I doubt a move would be made there. If he became the permanent AD, then you could have that discussion about whether that's something that he would do and whether Jeff Brohm would come for that or not.
Well, now we wait. Now we can read some of the message board stuff from Twitter from Florida State. I know Mark Ennis was going back and forth with some of his buddies that are down in Tallahassee that were talking about some of these things that they're not happy with the Vince hire right there, but I think it's past the point of no return when all these things. I scoffed at it on Friday. I kind of said, Florida State, first time AD. Really? Well, like, that's what's going
to
happen?
Everyone's first reaction was, oh, Vince is just putting this out there to, like, take the heat off or whatever the case may be. And I think it's more than that at this point. It certainly seems that there is a lot of mutual interest from Florida State to the point where everyone is now – saying they'll be basically surprised if he is not named the next athletic director of Florida State.
The bring the Brom home guy. I know Nikki talked about this a little bit. My God, I mean, that guy is
power.
Dedicated.
He was tweeting at me and Lawrence. Yes, Lawrence and his cat during SMH yesterday, and I'm just like, dude, like, take a whiff of fresh air outside, man. But he is growing powerful. I think he's replied to every tweet. He's not a bot.
He's very much on the fire tirade train now, which may not be necessary.
Yes. 267-9680 is the phone number. Nick Curran, Phil Baker, Nick Valvano in for Bobby V. I'm going to try and pull up some of these rumors that Ennis had on his timeline.
Oh, boy.
So, no, I mean, it's from a while back, but I mean, just he has stuff from about the Miami stuff going on with Cristobal, just how you do not conduct a coaching search / AD search. But, man, that has been wild to see all that transpire down there and actually pull it off. I mean, I thought it was going to fall apart, but... that it did not. So Ingram Smith, this is what I was talking about. He does some things for Knowles Cast. Mm-hmm. He says, let's see. It's my understanding that FSU will let other candidates involved know the AD search. I know that they are going a different direction. Appears as though Vince Tyree is all but a formality at this point. So that
came out last night.
Yeah. So who knows if anything has potentially changed since then. But it looks like, you know, this is kind of going to be the direction for Vince Tyree, and I'm going to be fascinated to see what, if any news comes out about this rift between them, or he's going to take the high road and not burn any bridges here for that, because it's almost like he's walked into an impossible situation from the get-go with the sanctions, hiring a coach, Bobby Petrino letting him go and whatnot. But, you know, that's what you're paid the big bucks for, and then it probably left a bad taste in his mouth. The pandemic, everyone had to face some financial cuts and whatnot. So what that means moving forward for the AD, the interim, I have no idea, but it seems like you should know something here in the next, I would say by 5:30, 6 o'clock, maybe during the take, or potentially tomorrow, 9 a.m., when you should, maybe during the Diener show.
Put it in the Sports Center, and I damn sure meant it. We will keep you abreast of that situation. It's what we do here at ESPN Louisville, and all the guys are kind of on standby for told the missus. So the only night I had free at the restaurant the rest of the week. And they even know. I actually kind of canceled working a private party. I'm a little bummed about.
Wow.
Because I was anticipating tomorrow it's going to get nuts. So I kind of was like, hey, had someone who wanted it. It was like, you treat those people right. It's a holiday party. But yeah, it's probably going to go down. And that's what we do at ESPN Louisville. We rally the troops. And we give you ample amounts of bonus coverage, and then hopefully you guys pay us with pizza and booze.
As happened on Friday.
Yes. I'm enjoying some of that cold pizza, by the way.
You have been enjoying some of that
fantastic
cold pizza.
Fantastic.
Yes.
So what's the outcome that I guess the masses want to see from this? Like, because I'm constantly...
I'd
like,
say Scott Satterfield fired.
Well, okay. Well, I think that's it. But in terms of Neely Bindaputi, like, you may not... You got a statement from her office... Vince Tyree moving on. You're kind of in limbo with that, but as we said multiple times, like, what do you do with if you do want to move on from him? It doesn't feel like you're going to be able to do it with an interim tag on it, right? Like for an AD position at least. So
no, I don't.
I have
so.
No idea what they are going to do with that. So this is going
to
be.
I think it would be really difficult to ask an interim athletic director to make the call to fire the football coach and then make a new hire. And that's also an impossible spot for an interim AD. How do you go out and hire a new coach when you have the interim tag? You know, that's no one's going to want. It's going to be tough to get someone to come there and work for somebody who has an interim tag. I think that would be a difficult ask. So
not only that, I mean, it has to be Brom, right? I mean, the fan base isn't going to want anybody else unless freaking Dabo comes or something.
I think he's the overwhelming choice. There are some people out
besides
there.
Besides Eric Bieniemy, which there's no chance is coming from the Chiefs.
Bring the Brom guy back.
Yes.
I truly haven't heard any other names bantered around or by more than one person, maybe on the text line. Hey, how about this guy? And then nothing else.
Heard a couple of people say Marcus Freeman, I think, but he's taken.
35, by the way. I think he has 6 kids. I saw that picture of him floating around there. He has
who? Marcus
Freeman, the new coach at Notre Dame.
Having a press conference right now, as a matter of fact, in South Bend. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, obviously, Jeff Fromm would be the choice, but it's... you know, they're as Jack has said a million times, there has to be an opening first. And I mean, it sure looks to me like Scott Satterfield will be the coach at Louisville for the 2022 football season.
But I mean, with this Vince Tyree moving on, like, that's the thing. Do we know that? And I know we're all speculating, but it's
you would have to move really quickly on an athletic director, I think. You'd have to move really quickly on an AD.
And how much autonomy do they have? Like, that's another thing. That is another people.
That is another question. But if they don't have autonomy, they supposedly wouldn't let Tyree do it. That's what people think. So why would they not let the new AD do it?
Texter said, did Vince Tyree hire Chris Mack while having the interim tag?
I believe so.
So
that was a different deal, though, because there was an interim basketball coach. Like,
you had the David Paget year,
and as people have pointed out, I mean, Chris Mack was going to come here. I mean,
didn't he have someone like close to him that's like from here or something?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, okay, I thought I heard something.
Well, and I think to that texter's point,
I can't remember if Vince had the interim tag when he hired Mack or not.
I think to that point, you can definitely see, like, when I don't want to say shambles, there was a lot of moving parts with that. Maybe Neely indicates, and I've said this from the get go, where you were given your one get out of jail free card when buying Bobby Petrino out with $15 million. Everyone always talks about finances. I have not seen finances, but everyone uses that as a crutch for that. Here, did you find that?
So he was approved as the full time athletics director on a Monday by the board, and then the board approved the hiring of Chris Mack that Wednesday.
So there you go.
So he did the work, but I think he knew he was going to be the full-time AD. So I think that made that work a little bit easier. This is a different scenario in a lot of ways, because we all know what was happening then, and a lot of turnover and trying to sort of muddle through with a lot of interim tags on people. Now it's a little bit different. So
if some of the reports are out there that, in fact, and I don't know, I mean, these are message boards, cardinalsports.com, they're
reports,
putting things out there.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, they're sticking by some of these things. I mean, I don't want to. He comes on with Andy occasionally, Ty Spalding. I mean, he's putting some things out there that have said. I mean, obviously, the spokesperson has said it did not happen, but there's some things that they put out there. I don't want to share all this information.
Behind
a paywall, but
we don't have quote unquote sources, but I've heard from enough different people that say she was not there to believe she was not there.
So I guess it goes on to maybe there's a scenario in which you bought out Bobby Petrino for $15 million. You did lay off 45 people from an athletic department, and it is $7 million, I think, the ballpark in which to buy him out and potentially get Brom if everyone wanted to go that route, right? Okay.
Somewhere.
So if you're going to do that, maybe that was his get out of jail free card. You bought Petrino out with the $15 million. We're not going to do this every 3 years. And Satterfield has done enough. In their eyes, the Board of Trustees or Neely Bindabudi or Vince Tyree's eyes, whoever that may be, to say, we'll bring you back. The concerning part is if that cost-benefit analysis that we always talk about, because people, I contend, their bark is bigger than their bite when they say, we're not renewing season tickets, it's going to be in half-empty stadium, and maybe they've done the surveys in which have been sent out, and they indicate how many folks are going to be potentially there or not. I say, Labor Day rolls around, you got to get the itch for footballs coming back, and then you say, hey, I'm going to go out to the game, and you can be upset, but it's a vicious cycle. Now, is that something that people are going to follow up with? I think there are a portion of fans that are going to follow up through with that.
And I do think that people will, a lot of people have, even on the air, canceled their season tickets. But other people made the point, even while they were talking about why they were canceling their season tickets, that they might still very well go to games, but they'll just buy them on a game-to-game basis because it's cheaper, which I do think is an issue. If you don't have demand for the tickets, you can get them cheaper maybe than you get in your season ticket packages if you buy them game-to-game, and maybe that'll be a thing. But I don't think it will be as empty as people are making it seem. We'll see.
Malik coming back helps.
Yes, I think so, as much as people don't want to acknowledge that. I think Malik coming back back certainly helps. I think that Monty Montgomery coming back certainly helps. So far, we've seen one guy enter the transfer portal, Jordan Watkins.
And that one does hurt.
It does.
Looks like he got an offer from Ole Miss.
He got an offer from Ole Miss. Looks like he's not going to jump straight to Kentucky, which was a huge concern when he entered the transfer
portal. And Purdue was concerning as well.
Purdue, sure, when we were doing this show last week. And, yeah, I mean, for this staff that's sucky recruiting classes, Ole Miss wants them. They're pretty good. So, I mean, I don't know. We'll see. That's, to me, and I've gone back to this a million times, the difference between this situation and some other situations in the past with maybe a Steve Kragthorpe. Scott Satterfield, by all accounts, hasn't lost the locker room. Guys are still in. And we'll see. Well, I mean, there could be more names in the transfer portal. Certainly, there's still a bowl game to be played. Not a terribly high-level bowl game. I don't know how much that bowl game prevents guys from throwing their name into the transfer portal. But listen, the transfer portal, A, is just a fact of college football at this point, and B, there haven't been a lot of guys enter it from Louisville yet. And you got Malik Cunningham and Monty Montgomery coming back. Those are positive things. We'll see. I don't know.
Nick Valvano, Nick Kern, Phil Baker here filling in for Bobby V here on The V Show. 437-9680 is the UPS Jobs text line. I think something that kind of gets overlooked, and it was used against, by all accounts, Bobby Petrino 2.0 was a better version of himself, if you will, versus the 1.0, which I think the only place you had to go was up after everything that transpired, but that's neither here nor there. But maybe there is some credence to it where it's like Satterfield, by all accounts, minus the South Carolina stuff, and if there was stuff with the, I think, shout out to us, I think that was our first time mentioning South Carolina during this duration of the show,
right,
which I am very proud of ourselves because, boy, is that we're just playing the bingo card when we do that. But I think what it boils down to is when you're constantly left at the altar for the Louisville fan base, there's the insecurity, the next guy's going to leave. So the loyalty was thrown out the window with that. By all accounts, the administration thinks Satterfield's done everything, the coaches, everything off the field, minus the South Carolina stuff, that have been seen in good graces with the football team. Seems like he's a decent enough guy and whatnot, and that's all well and good. Maybe there's something of that with the administration where it's like, hey, we're going to ride this out and see, even though it's 6-6 right now, you always say that the worst thing he could have done was having such a successful year in year one.
Still stand by that.
And I think that goes back to, it's like, maybe Satterfield's just not as big of a slime ball as Petrino, and that's their measuring stick where it's like, we're just going to be steady Eddie. We don't want any turbulence. We want stability, and that's the reason and they want it. I just don't think that tidal wave of fans that are pushing back against that are going to buy it because it's just win, baby. Like, that's think it's going to go back to constantly. And I don't know how you fix slash repair it, or if the toxic nature of just everything is just if he's setting up for failure. I don't know that.
I don't know either. It's a great question. But I mean, that's the bottom line. If you go out and win games next year, you'll pull people back in. That's what it takes. You got to win games, and I think that can happen. They were, again, played the hits. Just keep going back to it over and over again. They were really close this year to beating Wake Forest, who was the best team in their division. They were really close to beating Clemson, who was normally the best team in their division. Obviously wasn't this year, but right there on the cusp, literally needed 2 yards. Likely would have beaten Clemson, couldn't get it. I know that's not a good thing, but right there, the Virginia collapse was terrible, but a game they easily could have, should have won. Winning two of those three, which was not unthinkable at all, you'd be 6-2 in the ACC. We'll see what happens next year. I just don't think they're that far away, especially with the players you have coming back now. A concern with Malik Cunningham maybe leaving, that's not happening. He's coming back. You've got your main defensive guy back. You've got an offensive line that showed a lot of bright signs this year, minus the Kentucky game.
The Georgia Tech tight end that they dropped from the program?
Well, okay, whatever. I don't even think that matters. But you've got the running back core back. You've got a good core of wide receivers, minus Jordan Watkins. But you presumably get Braden Smith back from an injury, who by all accounts was going to be a key part of the offense. I think there's a lot to be excited about if you want to look at it that way. Obviously, a lot of people don't. And I think this team could win 8-9 games next year.
ACC isn't really that much better either, right? I mean,
I'll give you something I talked about with Nick yesterday, actually, David Hale. Make your point, because I had a stat that actually backed up Nicky's point about being a better conference, maybe not better conference, an interesting conference from David Hale about, here, I'll just go ahead and read it.
Go for it.
ACC the best conference this year? Probably not, but it was the most fun. It had the highest scoring, most games decided by a TD, most games decided by a field goal, and lowest average score margin. So to your point about the ACC potentially being, you know, at least they had some bright spots with that. To your point about 8 or 9 wins next year, Nick, I think that's something that is going to be used as ammo against him after the flirtation with South Carolina. And he even, I know.
You don't think 8 to 9 wins will be enough?
No, because I think fans think he will leave after that.
Okay, yeah.
And that's where I think it's going to be used about him. And that's why I go back to the toxic nature of I don't know what can be done to repair it. I really don't. And if there are answers out there, I think winning helps a lot of it, but even in the back, the Jiminy Cricket on Louisville fans' shoulder, they're going to indicate that, all right, well, he's just going to leave now. His super agent Jimmy Sexton's going to find him a bigger
job.
Maybe,
but if Jeff Brohm comes in and goes 12-0, he could be doing the same thing.
As the texters have said, they'd rather have a person here, and I know with Vince Tyree to help your argument, nothing is secured as a shearing job.
Yeah, that's a good take that Andy had about have a local leaving. What's that kind of do?
And I just go back to Lincoln Riley leaving Oklahoma to go to USC. Brian Kelly leaving Notre Dame. The Notre Dame coach leaving. If someone's going to throw oodles of money at you, you might leave. It doesn't matter if you're from somewhere or not. That might be difficult to turn down. I don't know. I'm sure Jeff Brohm would come here with the intention of being here. But if he has a spectacular season and is a hot name in the coaching carousel and a big-time job comes open and they can throw paying $500,000 over market for a couple of houses and can throw unlimited use of a private jet plus $10 million a year at you, who knows? You might leave.
I think those percentages and odds in the eyes of the bigger Louisville fans that are wanting this to happen. You're seeing the guy tweet at us every breath, every draft we put up in the Twitter. He's tweeting at that draft that has not been sent out yet. But I think your percentages are higher with that in the eyes of a bulk of the fan base.
I get it, but to make a hire, and I think Jeff Brohm would do a great job. I think he's a great coach.
Did you call him a wizard yesterday?
Yes, he's a wizard. Watched him coach.
The wizard of West Mutual.
Was really watching him closely as the Western Kentucky University football coach, and he did an incredible job there. I'm convinced he is a really, really good coach and would have great success here. But to make a hire based on you think he's going to be here long term just doesn't, in this day and age especially, doesn't make a lot of sense to me, because there's no job that someone won't leave at this point regardless. So I don't know, that seems not worth it to worry about to me. And maybe Scott Satterfield could win 8-9 games next year and leave. That's not a bad thing. I mean, but everyone wants him gone anyway. He wins 8 or 9 games. That's good. He leaves. That's good. It's all a good thing.
To play devil's advocate for it, I think this is the sentiment of most of the people that at least are texting into our text line. You're delaying the inevitable then, if that's the case. You leave it in a better situation, to your point, but I think folks think he doesn't want to be here from that standpoint, even though by all accounts he said the right things. But that's why I talk about that tidal wave of things that are new. Look, it's not about Scott Satterfield today. It's about Vince Tyree potentially going to Florida State.
But
the dynamic
but it's
between,
also about Scott
but
Satterfield.
But it's a tentacle of the Scott Satterfield. Was Vince Tyree in full support of him or not? And he's only talking to a select few people, so we have no idea what his mindset is behind that. And as we alluded to, we will hopefully find out maybe in the 5 o'clock hour here on ESPN Louisville.
To rehash it, I think maybe he does fully support Sat, and that's why he kept him. Even if he doesn't, knowing he may be taking the Florida State job, I think that prevents him from firing him, because I just don't think that's the right thing to do, to dump on a place when you might be leaving it. And I think he did if in fact he wanted to fire Scott Satterfield by not doing it, knowing he may be leaving for Florida State, I think he did the right thing.
Well, we talked about it yesterday. I mean, Pat Forty putting out there that potentially Randy Shannon being the savior to help with the defensive side of things, like, that's going to excite the fan base. Like, Pat Forty put that out there, and I could hear
Manny Diaz is available.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, maybe Manny Diaz. I mean, if he could, oh, that was handled terribly down there. But Randy Shannon, maybe a decade and a half ago, and then Charlie Strong had to take all his players to come here, and that's supposed to excite the fan base? I can't buy stock in that. I just can't.
No, I agree with that. But do... I mean, everyone's on board. Like, a lot of people are making noise to fire the defensive coordinator, Brian Brown.
I don't think any changes are going to be made.
I'm not convinced they should be. I know the defensive performance against Kentucky was obviously terrible. The all-around performance against Kentucky was terrible. But
would that be the compromise? They say a good compromise leaves everyone pissed off. Would that be it? I mean, the fans at least get an idea that... And look,
I think it makes
me sick to my stomach calling for a coach's
job.
I hate that idea, but...
I think hiring an offensive coordinator would be a good thing.
I agree with that. I'd rather see that than see Brian Brown go.
I thought the defense continued to make some strides this year. I thought they kept Louisville in a lot of games when the offense couldn't score. I thought the defense kept them in the NC State game for most of that game. Kept them certainly in the Clemson game. Played spectacular there. Shut down a couple. I thought they played
the UVA game gets pointed out as
there was all systems failure in the fourth quarter.
Somebody brings up a good point on the text line. 4379680. Guys, the elephant in the room is that UK's crushing defeats, and it's a trend.
Yeah, like now it is.
Most of the cause of the fan chaos and the panic, and I think we're oversimplifying that. We are hypersensitive to him losing his father that week. That is terrible.
Yes,
I can't even imagine trying to deal with that, but it's also, we talk about basketball and football, steer the ships and everything, and it's something that is just not, it's bigger than this
but
right now.
People were doing this before the Kentucky game. You had the Syracuse and Duke games to sort of interrupt the talk, and that got people sort of back on board. But then the Kentucky game was clearly an all systems failure, and it started it all again and even louder. But this was happening before the Kentucky game. It wasn't just the Kentucky game.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Nikki, do you know?
It certainly didn't help.
I don't want to throw this on you. I know we have a couple calls. Do you know what yesterday's anniversary was, by the way?
No.
I hate doing this since, but
I was there.
Scott Satterfield interviewed with South Carolina yesterday. I'm sorry. Oh, it was the year anniversary. I know that.
I should have known.
Yeah, it's not good. We need to get to some calls, or do we want to take a break first? You tell me.
No, let's go ahead and take these bad boys.
Well,
if that's okay. We'll go with Jason on 2 to start us off.
Jason up next here on the V Show on ESPN 680 and 105.7. What's up, Jason?
Hey, guys, I think your synopsis of 8 or 9 games at least maybe 7 to 8 games is realistic for next year. I mean, their schedule for next year, non-conferences, Central Florida, South Florida, and James Madison and Kentucky.
Yep.
And, they have Clemson on the road, but the only other tough game that they may have on the road in the ACC would be a Virginia team that will be under a new administration. So, I mean, with that kind of, non-conference schedule, it is possible that they could Satterfield come in here and win 8 or 9 games even at the best. So that scenario could actually play out. And secondly, I don't blame Vince if he's got an opportunity to go to Florida State. I don't think it's arguable that sports program is better than Louisville. And if he's going to get some more money, I think we would all even know how much our loyalty is to a school. We have to look to better ourselves in our careers, I would think.
And that's the question Nick was posing earlier. We don't know if it would be for more money because the current AD makes significantly less money than Vince Tyree makes at Louisville. So maybe they'd be giving him more. We don't know that. And that's something we could potentially find out if all this happens. But I mean, certainly if there were more money involved, I don't know that you could blame him. And I think there's a lot of potential reasons for him leaving. And I think we lost you there. Sorry about that. I didn't lock him in. I didn't do the lock button, and that's my fault.
No, that was my bad. It was still set on talent. That's on me. That caller blood is on my hands. We have Jacob if you want to talk to him.
Let's go to Jacob next here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. What's up, Jacob?
What's up, guys? I appreciate y'all's willingness to talk to me.
By all means.
Oh, sorry. I felt like I lost you there for a second. All I was going to say, though, is
at the end of the day, it doesn't matter who the coach is, doesn't matter who the AD is. I was born and raised here in Louisville. I lived elsewhere for a little bit, but I made sure everybody knew where I was from then and there. And when I lived out in Los Angeles, everybody knew I was from Louisville, Kentucky, and they would always be like, oh, so King Lua came through and helped find all that land, right? Because they're like, you're mispronouncing the word. And I'm like, no, you guys are mispronouncing the word. So through thick and thin, I'm a U of L fan. It doesn't matter if Scott's the coach, it doesn't matter if Cragthorpe's the fan. What those guys do is they ease my stress as a fan a lot. But what the fan base does more is raise my stress, because I am that guy at the football games that is sometimes just not talking because I'm just eaten up. And I don't know why I do this to myself, but I sit there and I listen to all the dummies say this. You know, like people were saying fire Scott during the 8-5 season, and that blew my mind. That was blowing my mind. So there's people that have just had it out against him since the moment he's got here, and those fans are just killing me. And so, like, I've had to compartmentalize all this stuff, because it's the only way you can do it right now as a U of L fan with how much crap we've had go on the last decade.
Yes.
And with the way fans, we're not helping ourselves with the way we talk about it and handle it. I'm not saying that we just need to be quiet and just let everything, you know, happen. But at the same time, that, you know, as Rick said when we were here, we, you know, in different words, he pretty much said, y'all suck as a fan base because you just constantly are on the negative and crying. And
they said, like, the negativity in this town sucks, I believe, was the exact quote.
Good quote.
Right. Yeah, and I mean, he nailed it, and it's just the truth. And, you know, like, I was yelling at the TV during the NC State game, and my wife was in the other room, and I just said, why the hell wasn't I born in Alabama? Because, I was just like, my life would be just so much simpler with how much I put, a point to enjoy college athletics. And so, like, when we were struggling at NC State, I was just like, why do I do this to myself? And then at the same time, I was like, because I'm a U of L fan. Like, I can't help it. And for some reason, I wish I could, but for some reason, I can't. So, go Cards. I'm going to be there and support Scott next year, because that's what I do as a Louisville native and a Louisville fan through thick and thin. And I'll be there. So, go Cards, baby.
Jacob, appreciate the call. I think that's a rare call at this point, but I appreciate it. And I think,
and you need more guys like him to combat that. But that's the problem.
I know that. Where are we with that?
We talked about the negativity in this town sucks. You're paid a lot of money to combat that negativity with winning. And that's the only thing I'll push back on.
That's true. He did bring up something else. He said, why couldn't I have been born in Alabama? All this is easier. It's all cyclical. Like 10, 15 years ago, Alabama was a complete mess. You know what I mean? Like, this stuff sort of ebbs and flows. People don't want to hear that either. It does a little bit to some degree. It ebbs and flows. And, you know, we just remember Alabama as a football powerhouse. But before Nick Saban decided to leave his post as the head coach of the Miami Dolphins and head there, Alabama was pretty much an abject mess in recent years before that. And now they have hit on Nick Saban, and it's the perfect marriage, and we've seen what they've been able to do. But it's just kind of funny to hear that, I think. But I love hearing from Jacob. That's a perspective. Just because it's a perspective, it's a different perspective than the perspective we've heard mostly the last couple of weeks.
I give him credit, because, I mean, I feel like there's just a lot of exhaustion in the fan base, and he seemed very much like...
I think there was some exhaustion with him, too.
But still.
But for a different reason. Yeah. Right.
I mean, I don't want to say lose, because I always say the vicious cycle of starting back whenever you start smelling like fall outside. People go back. They'll be there. But, I mean, it just feels like everyone tosses around the word apathy. It feels like it's just getting to the thing, you know, they can take only so much, they being fans, so much. They can take so many spit sandwiches for a little, and then when you start getting little things like this, people, I said this yesterday, my cousins in Columbus, up in Richmond, Virginia, they have no idea what their athletic director, they probably know what it looks like. President, they have no idea. Board of Trustees members couldn't tell you.
No.
Like, that's the thing where they get tired of, and here locally, it's just something every single 4 to 5 to 6 weeks. Like, that's where people get burnt out on.
Here's something else. If men's basketball and women's basketball in general, makes a run both, like, second weekend of the NCAA tournament, beyond that, maybe the Final Four, whatever. Does that, like I think women's basketball is a legit Final Four caliber team. Men's basketball could be a second weekend team. We'll see. What, like, does that help football? Like, does that help get people back? You know what I mean? Like, does it make people more positive leading into football season? To a weird degree? Like,
I mean, I think it'll help wash the taste out a little bit, but at the end of the day, I mean, I feel like you're going to have to make a couple splashes in the transfer portal and or with recruiting.
They made the biggest splashes by keeping Malik Cunningham and Monty Montgomery.
I don't disagree, but still, I mean, they've done that, and have you noticed much of a tide being turned right now? Yeah, exactly.
I don't know what the tide is. I don't know that there is a tide.
Well, I think like time heals all wounds. First off, get a bowl win.
That would help.
Then have the basketball teams be good. Stay out of the news, like for any negative BS.
That would also be good.
Yeah, and then I think, you know, land a couple of decent people, and also, I mean, have a couple more Brent Venables leave the ACC.
Yeah, that maybe could help too.
Well, and I think that's something that folks tend to point to. I'm seeing the text line. Everyone and their mother is pointing to the UK loss, blowing the lead.
I know.
That's something that I think from the football point of view is that people are just not happy about that. They're just not.
And, I get it. It's
and
terrible.
When you're getting blown out like that, and if that little, whoever, everyone and their mother has a connection to the first family of Louisville, fill in the blank with up at Purdue. And it feels like there is interest there from people that would be in the know. I understand the first time you turned it down. That is the, you talk about the guy on Twitter that's that energy just keeps growing and growing of saying bring Brom home. That's the thing that keeps the narrative that keeps being pushed out, that there is interest there. And if there is, I don't know how you combat it. Like, if because it's just in the fans' eyes, they hear that. The moment there is a bad play, a bad loss, something, like, people are just ready to pounce on that. And it's deafening. Jason, shout out to you, man. Like, you are Jon Snow. You don't understand that reference, Nick.
Jacob.
Jacob, my apology. Jacob, you are Jon Snow.
No, his name is John. It's Johnson, not Jacob Snow.
Jon Snow, yes.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, I see what you're
doing. Jacob was the caller. Sorry.
And he is by himself right now in the Battle of the Bastards. He is just basically getting ready for that, and I applaud him for it. But you need about 30,000 more of him right now. It feels like with the sample size that out there, and I think a lot of them, bark's bigger than their bite. They'll be back there, but to combat this with it staying out of the news and whatnot, and maybe that was the reasoning behind retaining Scott Satterfield. It's like, we can't afford, not necessarily financially, but to be in the news in any way, shape, or form. Going back, sorry, Uncle Dino mm-hmm. stuff, Bobby Petrino buyout, things like that. It's just been something where you're not in the news for good things with your two primary sports in basketball and football. Scott Satterfield a year ago interviewed with South Carolina. Just people just latch onto those things. Even with all the positive things that you have been saying about some of the other teams, these are the two most visible programs here that take the
major
the most
revenue sports. I don't want to say revenue, but major revenue.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they're the ones that are going to be taking the shrapnel the moment something goes wrong.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Is there, and I know because Diener's done a great job breaking it down with the contract and everything, that this right now seems like the ideal time to get Brom. But if it doesn't happen this year and the Satterfield experiment fails next year, or it succeeds and he moves on, is there a chance that they could, you know, I mean, they said that the ideal time to get him was the last go round, and he wound up deciding to stay with Purdue, which is fine.
I think the landscape's changed, like with the one-time transfer rule. Everyone points to this. Everyone that knows somebody indicates that he did not feel right, and I understand it's big-time college athletics, and everyone scoffs at it. He had the opportunity to turn it down. I hate having this conversation year in and year out, but yet here we are. But this is something that I think people latch on to of saying, hey, you know, he recruited Rondell Moore from the city to go mm-hmm. up there. He wouldn't have been able to transfer, or he could, but it would have been a year
right.
With the one-time transfer rule, it's changed. He's been there longer than a cup of coffee. He feels as if, I don't want to speak for him, but everyone that's closer to his circles, that are a lot closer than any of the three of us, have said as much. So it just seems like if it's going to happen, it'll happen. But as you heard your AD say on Friday, it ain't happening. So we're just kind of having all these hypotheticals with it. But who knows what'll happen after these Board of Trustees things. So is that the decision moving forward? I have no idea. And that's the lack of clarity from the president's office. And now with Vince Tyree interviewing for these jobs is what's concerning to fans. And that's why all this speculation just runs rampant, because you just continuously have all these different little spirits and shadows just coming down. I always talk about the silos coming down. That was these evil spirits are just circulating, and nobody knows who to be mad at. And that's where it's all the speculation rises from. I mean, Rummage was as passionate as I've heard him when he called in on Friday and then today, because he doesn't know who to be mad at right now. And then it just goes back and forth on some of these folks. I mean, 1 minute it's Neely, the next is Vince. It's just people want to know who's making the decision, who's pulling the strings, and if that is the case moving forward, then you can know where you can put that anchor, and no one knows where to put that right now.
Can we put a little bit at the NCAA? Just a little bit. Just
sure.
Because still, like, I mean, I was talking to the luminaries in the back, and them saying that this is, I mean,
it's still dragging on.
It's still dragging on. It's still lingering. And for when you have an instance like this, it's just salt in the wound, because now you would need an interim AD, and also the an AD that might have to deal with another postseason ban, probably at the very least. And then depending on what comes out from the Dino stuff, potentially grounds for firing Mac. And it seems like, I don't want to be conspiracy theory, but it seems like the board as is and Neely Bendipudi don't exactly have a, or aren't exactly giving Mac a long leash.
That seems that way. That's reporting from Eric Crawford too. So
you're right.
Yeah.
So I feel like, you know, again, the NCAA just letting U of L twist in the wind is not making any of this mess any easier.
I don't disagree. Texter says we don't care about women's basketball. It's fine, but has nothing to do with football. I mean, I know it doesn't really have anything to do with football, but I mean, I would think you'd want to support and lean into the stuff that's been the most successful and out of the news in these ways the last several years. But hey, that's just me. Volleyball, women's basketball, both a lot of fun right now. I would jump on board, but hey, that's just me.
Jacob here. I'm a huge Game of Thrones nerd. Couldn't love the Jon Snow comparison anymore. You're
perfect.
Welcome. I know Nick will watch this a decade from now, but maybe when it's 2014 smartphone.
I'm never going to watch Game of Thrones.
Yeah, that sounds
Why
about right.
Why not?
Because it has dragons and cousins, and they make it out. And all
What do you watch? Because I've been...
Whatever Wonder Bread is, he's watching.
I've been thinking about getting into Yellowstone.
Listen, not much.
But it's pretty good.
I watched a couple episodes. It was... I got into it, right?
I do a lot of working at night. I don't watch a lot of TV at night. Watch sports on television. And then reruns of like Law and Order SVU and
Dragnet. Something
Friends,
on Nick at Night.
Wait,
I love Dragnet. Dude.
Dragnet's great. The names have been changed to protect the innocent.
437-968, a couple more minutes before the take coming up. They will be playing a lot of sound on that show.
You think so?
Just a little bit. So 437-968, Nick Curran, Nick Valvano, Phil Baker. The athletic department needs a fan liaison for the coaches. Big donors get in ears, but regular fans don't unless it's in mass. It needs to be someone with an athletic background. Coaches and come and go, but fans don't. That coming down on the text line. It feels like
I think that's a fair point.
It feels like a situation in which it's not necessarily to the caliber of Tennessee and hiring of Greg Schiano, because obviously it's a much bigger fan base, but it feels like it's a little step brother to that, if you will. I know people probably want the step brother thing, but that is where it is at. U of L has become the armpit of college athletics. Can't wait for them to leave. That is,
I disagree with that.
Fans are upset because the lack of transparency by the program on these decisions being made. A presser is what we want, and they would rather talk to one media person per statement or quote, and that ain't it. So that's something else that people are pointing to.
I mean,
want to hear something. I think you will.
I just don't think Vince was going to have a presser with all this sort of looming out there. Did that nugget from Rick Bozich that we listened to from WDRB in the morning earlier did make it sound like it was like a conversation between Eric Crawford and Vince Tyree. It wasn't just Vince giving Eric a like statement and then saying bye. It sounded like they talked for a little while. So presumably Eric had a chance to maybe ask a few questions.
Well, we're inching closer to the top of the hour. I know they're about to play the music and get out of here. So fun show. I'm sure they'll keep you on top of everything here on The Take. Oh, look at you playing a little Dragnet, taking me back to Nick at Night days. So they'll
just
keep
the facts.
James Strebel will have the inside track on who the next athletic director will be, I'm sure. Andy Sweeney, a bunch of sound of people calling in on Friday being very upset. So they got you covered.
It's going to be lit. We can just say it's going to be lit.
I think I see the gasoline being brought
up.
How
much fun is Strebel going to have today?
I think he's just going to laugh the entire time. So
he might be the only person in America that doesn't need a blue chew today. The last longer than 4 hours.
I don't know if he's the only person in America, but I agree. I don't think he'll need it today.
If it lasts longer than 4 hours, remember, call a medical professional.
Medical professional. It's very important. First order free. Use the promo code VSHOW.
Absolutely, baby. I'm excited to have them back on board.
I'm excited that you are going to be endorsing them.
Well, at least until Pops gets back. And then I do really wish he was hawking blue chew while he was on the train.
That would have been
just by himself in the corner with a bunch of passengers like, is that Bob Bell? Not that they would recognize him, but
is he talking like, blue chew?
Like, that's a big-headed man just shouting about blue chew. But it does sound rather nice. Discreet packaging. Chewable tablet. How you doing?
Online doctor consultation?
Exactly.
Well, fun show, boys and girls. How much time do we have before it's coming out? I don't know if this
Jeff
is the
Walsh show tomorrow night, 7 to 8, 93.9 The Ville. Danny Busboom Kelly will join for the last half hour to talk U of L volleyball. BatsBaseball.com. Sign up. Breakfast with Santa. First one was a roaring success on Saturday. He can get in the next two Saturdays. Yes.
I know him!
Yes.
Monday Night Football coming up. Talking sports. Scott Davenport, we got you covered with wall-to-wall coverage here on ESPN Louisville.
Fun show. The Take is next.
Hey, that's my coach. Shout out to Andy Sweeney. T.O. is 47 years old. He's coming up next.
Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases, tuition free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.